trying to get through this life thing, which is hard. Right. And there's no manual and nobody really knows how to do it. But also we're humans and we just want to be okay and feel connected. And sometimes that's not available as easily as this thing that we found that is, whether that's social media or a drug or a drink or a, you know, food or a, like the phone or whatever the heck it is. And like the beauty of recovery is that it can kind of like give you this pause where you can find things that fill those voids that maybe isn't the thing that is just going to make you feel worse. Like you find those moments where you can talk to a friend or take a few extra deep breaths or realize that life isn't terrible. Those little pauses, I feel like, are that gift in recovery that keep you from reaching right away.
Stories are powerful. Powerful.
Welcome to the Rise, Recover, Live podcast, brought to you by The Phoenix. This is a space where people impacted by substance use can come to share their story of strength and resilience, get open and honest, and inspire hope and build community through shared experience.
We'll be talking to people in our community on their own recovery journey and shine a light on the topic of recovery in all its forms. Maybe you'll hear some of your story in theirs.
Let's show the world that together we rise, recover, and live.
What's up, everybody? And welcome to yet another episode of the Rise, Recover, Live podcast. We are your hosts, Bryce III, he, him pronouns.
Liz McKean, she, her pronouns.
Why are you all giggles? What's that about?
Yet another episode. I feel like that should be paired with like a big sigh, like, yet another.
That's my sexy podcast voice. I always think of myself in like a smoking coat with sitting next to a fireplace with... glassware next to the fireplace full of apple juice.
Ooh, and stroking a white cat, I feel like.
Hello, everybody.
And welcome.
How is your energy today, Liz?
Oh, my energy is a little relieved, I think. It's been a week of big feelings and some overwhelming ones, and I feel better today. And it's one of those, we've talked about this, but like when you're in it, when you're in the kind of the muck with like mental health stuff and just overwhelm, it can feel like, is this just life now? Is this just who I am now? And this is never going to end. And then when I come out on the other side and all of a sudden the birds are singing and I can notice the sunshine again and have an appetite and all those things, it's just like, oh my God, I'm back.
Yeah. So
big relief.
Yes, it's so interesting how those experiences, like the polarity of those experiences, are they even really like that polar, you know, like, or are they two sides to the same stick, you know?
Yeah. Which, can one exist without the other?
Yeah. You know, like I had some anxiety yesterday. That, you know, I talked about it off camera and it wasn't crazy. It was just like, yo, where did this come from? Mm-hmm. And then like, once I worked through it, we were driving home, me and my son. And like, I just really, 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 really noticed the sky. I'm like, whoa, the sky is beautiful. And that's something that I don't know if I would have had like that awareness of, or been like, the sky wouldn't have hit me as visceral if it wasn't for like, the anxiety that I experienced previously,
yeah.
You know? And yeah, I'm all for a world where like, you know, I don't have to pay for appreciation in anxiety. And that's been the case multiple times.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just really stuck out to me yesterday as like, okay, like, you know, it's for something. You know what I'm saying? It's for something, you know? So sit with it, see what it's there for, and look at the sky, man.
Yeah. 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 And then in those moments where it does feel like is this just going to last forever? This awful feeling. Maybe sometimes those little glimpses, those little like photographs that you took in your head of the sky when you were able to see it, when it was like that light was getting through, sometimes are within reach. Even if it doesn't pull, for me anyways, pull me out of where I'm at, it is just a reminder that like this won't last forever. It's like, hold on. This won't last forever.
Yeah. I think that's the importance of experience too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we've talked a couple of times on this podcast how important, and it's so crazy because I come from like time doesn't mean anything. Like it just, you know, But like, experience is important. Like, if I show up for this, like, now I have this that I showed up for. And what that does is it becomes my experience. And what that does is I alchemize that into wisdom. And so now moving forward, like, I have this thing to pull upon. Like, oh yeah, I've been in a similar circumstance where I felt like, you know, this feeling before. And so maybe this is a different flavor of that feeling. But like, here go the tools I use for the last flavor. So let me try to apply those here and see if they work. And that process just doesn't happen without like the experience. Like, nobody can tell you about it. Like, even with people telling us about things, like, I've read a lot of books in my life. I've, you know, listened to a lot of podcasts. Like, I've got quite a few mentors, and there's things that I'm going back and listening to. And it's like, oh, then I was listening with the ears that I was equipped with at that time.
Yeah.
You know, and now with some experience under my belt, like, I'm listening with different ears and with a different spirit. And now it's like, oh, I can really put this into practice in ways that I never was able to because of the experience that I've had since the last time I listened to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's really important to talk about when we talk about relapse, like when folks come on to this podcast and part of their story is having had, you know, however much time that they were sober in recovery and then they relapse and then, and I don't really like the word relapse, but I'm just going to use it for lack of a better one right now. But I love it when people are willing to talk about that because I think it's so powerful to acknowledge that, like, this might feel like, oh my God, I'm back where I was before. I'm right back here. You know, holy crap, I've been here. It was all for nothing. That's an easy thing to like allow your brain to go to, whether that is with a relapse of substance use or just, you know, here I am back in like a week of feeling such intense anxiety. But it's cool to acknowledge that. No, you're not. No, you're not. Now you're you. Now you have all those tools that you built up since, you know, the last time. Now you are a version of you that you've never been before, with tools that you never had before and knowledge now from whatever experience you just had that you didn't have before you had that experience. And like, it is, it's not just here I am again, or I'm back, you know, it's here I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the thing that I've encountered where people share it. Like, you know, I have 20 years in recovery, 10 of them in sobriety,
yeah,
you know,
or, I love that. Yeah.
You know, where there's, it's not like a break or a lapse. It's like, no, this is, there's continuity in you showing up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the harm reduction episode. I don't even know if we published that one yet. Well, by the time you all hear it, it'll be published. Mm-hmm. But I forgot what she said, but she used like a reoccurrence or something, like some word that wasn't relapse. And it's like, oh, that's softer. Like, that's softer. I like that, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, I don't know. It just makes it like, it's always weird when it's like, I can't do this thing. I just can't do this thing. Because if I do this thing, then like the focus ends up being on that thing. But it's like, no, like the thing may happen. It might happen. But know that it doesn't have to be fear-based. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if it does happen, like there's tools here. And even in that, it's like, well, so like caffeine for me. When it's like, when a thing is a thing, and maybe it wasn't like this for me when I first got sober, because sobriety, like, that was brought upon me personally by desperation. Like, I didn't, you know, whatever. Like, whatever y'all got, I'm doing it. So, no questions asked, you know. But now that I've blossomed as a human being and I have all these philosophical nuances and
knowledge literally written across your chest right now.
Now it's like, sometimes it's a little more complicated for me to be open to stuff, you know? And that ability to just allow for, okay, I'm not drinking caffeine today. It's like the one day at a time thing. I'm not drinking caffeine today. I could drink it tomorrow. Like, who knows? But today, what I'm working on is not even what I'm working on. I just choose not to. And these are the reasons why. Mm-hmm. And like, that helps for me to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a lot softer for me, you know? And I need, for me personally, I just need soft in this time of my life. Because when it become hard and it become like super focused and spotlight, like it makes it big.
Yeah.
When we focus on expands, and now like my whole life is about avoiding this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody at my recovery group the other night was like, you know, this text that we all tap into, like, doesn't say, this is not, the main purpose of this book is not to get you to stop drinking alcohol. The main purpose of this book is to help you to live life. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's, well, that's such a, and that is a way more attractive thing, right? Like, I want to live life. I want to have joy. I want to have freedom. And also, you know, at one time in my life, I also wanted to do nothing but drink. And, you know, when the choices are put in front of me, you know, you can drink or you can die. Like, honestly, I was like, well, I'll just drink because I'll just die, you know, whatever. Like, it's, there was just no, but when it became an actual choice of like, there's something else that, like, it had to be something that I wanted, you know, I had to like have a glimpse of something that I wanted. And, you know, I've talked about how that happened to me, like on the yoga mat, when there wasn't any alcohol in my system, how I'd have those little moments of like, of lightness, of joy, of like release of that tightness in my chest, you know? And I was like, holy crap, is this possible without having to go through all that I go through with drinking? And it was only then that it was like, oh, I am going to make this choice. It's not because I have a family member sitting on the couch across from me, staring at me and following me to the bathroom to make sure that I don't like find some hidden bottle that they didn't find yet. You know, it's not because, you know, I'm going to get in trouble or I'm going to lose a job or, you know, whatever. It's not something that like punishment that, you know, can still be a reality. That was never going to get me to stop. But it was when it was like, there's something actually better that I can choose. That's me. That's coming from inside of me, you know, as opposed to outside that.
That inside of you, as opposed to coming from the outside, is kind of in alignment with what it is that I wanted to talk about today. Because social media, like, we live in this environment where all information is available to you at all times, where all everybody's views and opinions outside of you are there in your face at all times. If you think about, I wasn't a kid coming up with social media, but you think about like how important those developmental years are in discovering. And if you think about like recovery, there's a lot of development like that. Those first 90 days like begins those developmental years of like, who am I? Like, beyond this thing, like, who am I? And social media plays a big role in how we're able to connect. The internet plays a big role in how we're able to create community. You know, you think about the Phoenix and the internet and social media, like we wouldn't be able to, like, we wouldn't even be on a call right now. You're in New York, I'm in Detroit. Like, we wouldn't, without the internet, like, the internet is a great connector and a great equalizer. Mm-hmm. There are so many ways that the internet brings us together and allows for us to create new relationships and expand our horizons beyond what it is that we've been given. And, you know, just like fire can light the way or fire can burn a village down, there's also this thing that can really dampen our spirit and really have an effect on our mental health. And as we all know, like, our mental health and our recovery are really one and the same, for real. And so just wanted to talk about, like, because you mentioned some stuff before we hopped on camera, what your recent experience with social media has been and why you've chosen to make some of the decisions that you made recently.
I wouldn't be part of the Phoenix if it wasn't for social media. I discovered the Phoenix. I feel like when I say I discovered it, it's as if like the Phoenix didn't exist until I discovered it. No. I came across the Phoenix that already
the
existed.
The Christopher Columbus of Phoenix.
Oh, no. No. veering off topic. I came across the Phoenix because of social media and also, you know, a lot of other recovery resources and tools and authors and communities, and, you know, was able to feel part of something online that probably at the time I wasn't ready to be part of, you know, face to face and like with my whole open self. So very, very grateful for that. And then social media has done a lot of other wonderful things, connecting me with other people in the yoga community, helping people to find me when I was wanting to be found in that way. And yeah. And then also, there is there's something really scary about the amount of information that we have access to about everybody's feelings, everybody's experiences, all the good, the bad, and the deeply painful things that are happening all over the world all the time. And I have this feeling that when I know about something hard that's happening or terrible, painful, I feel a responsibility to, I don't know, be part of the solution for it, which is, you know, very much, very arrogant, you know, like I can't solve anybody else's problems, but I want to be part of a solution. And if I can't figure out in my brain how I can help with this thing that's just hurting somebody, then I want to share the hurt. Whether or not that person has any idea that I am, I'm going to just carry it. I'm going to carry it, even if it's so heavy that I am not going to be able to get up off of the floor. And I had that happened recently and just felt the heaviness of the whole world and felt like I should, because, you know, how dare I complain with all the horrors that are happening. And every social media account that I found, you know, it was just like so present everywhere. And, you know, found myself turning away from the cute puppy videos that I usually focus on when I'm feeling sad and turning towards the things that were just painful. And I deleted Instagram because I realized that there's absolutely no good that I can do in the entire world, either, you know, people close to me or people far away, when I go into that dark place in my own mind and heart and everything. And and I think that's the reason I'm feeling better now than I was even yesterday, because it took some time to even kind of crawl out of that. So that's kind of my experience that happens on and off over time. But I feel like when we've talked about this, your experience, you have some better boundaries around it, I think, than I do already. And then also the sharing of yourself is something that you've experienced more than me on that particular platform. Is that accurate?
I mean, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. I feel like if you share, you share. I share. I don't know. I think the boundaries too. I don't know how great my boundaries are. I'm working on building more, and I think like the awareness of what can happen allows for me to like stop it.
Mm. I mean, that for me is the boundary that I've yet to find early enough.
So I'm working to, because like for what it sounds like to me, there's this emotional process of harboring the pain of the world, and social media can be that conduit between you and the suffering of the world, and so you just cut that conduit off. And then that brings about like an increased quality of life. For me, it's less about the world. I think I have a real good antenna around like what I can pay attention to. Mm. Like it really feels like spikes coming out of my skin if I'm in territory that I know I shouldn't be in. You know what I'm saying? Like the news, when it's on, you know, if I hear, you know, shooting this, shooting that, click. You know, mm-hmm. The power of the click is strong within me. It's like mm-hmm. The force. I will, you know, even if like I'm around you and you get to gossiping about somebody, like I will find a polite way to like shut that down, to excuse myself from the conversation. But like I've literally just walked away. Like I don't, mm-hmm. You know, I can't trip on what you feel about that, because I'm just not like, I don't want that in my life.
Yeah.
And that's just the type of energy that I don't want. So the power of the click is important. I think for me, like I wouldn't even be here in this room with you if it wasn't for the work that I've done using social media.
Yeah.
Very, very early on within my recovery. You know what was crazy is this guy named Brendon Burchard. No ad or anything, but like he was one of the first people I seen on YouTube. Like it was a YouTube ad, and he was just talking about like personal development and growth. But it was like authentic. It wasn't like, you know, this is what you need to do, or it wasn't like, you know, it was just authentic.
Yeah.
And that was like the first time the seed was planted in me. I probably was like less than a year sober. I just got done reading Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And like, I'm on a high and newly sober. And here comes this guy. And all YouTube ads, I skip them now. You know, like there's no YouTube ad that I like sit there and watch. But this was one that was like, it would be like 6 minute videos and I would sit there and watch the whole thing. And within it, it was like, I want to be able to have that effect on somebody, mm-hmm. you know? And so I don't know, I just began picking up a camera and sharing my experience. I found a video recently where like it was like a 12-minute video. I didn't even say nothing. Like, and then at the end, I was like, okay, everybody, I'll see you later. And I'm like 25. Like, but I just knew I had to pick up that phone and like do something. And yeah. So now, you know, I consider myself a content creator. I share a lot of the tools that I pick up in recovery. If you all want to follow me, you can go to @BryceIII. I'm there every day to post content. But I'm not the greatest consumer. Mm-hmm. Like even when it comes to like, okay, social media algorithm, get on there and comment on other people's posts. In order to comment on other people's posts, I got to scroll and see what talks to me. And I don't want to scroll because the things that you think that I like for some reason are like not what I want to like, not what I think that I want to see right yeah. now, you know? So I get on there and post and ghost, you know? And mm-hmm. it's not good for your engagement, not good for this, not good for that. And that's cool. Whatever I don't do with organic, we can pick that up in the real world. And then when there's some money to put some money behind some things that are really important, we're going to do that too. But like, I know I got to be there. Mm-hmm. There's been times where I've been called to like, shut up. Which is life. You got to consume like life. You got to experience life to be able to share. Mm-hmm. But then there's moments where I really have to say things, you know, and I don't know what it is. I just trust my intuition. So social media allows for me to have that experience of being able to have a platform and sharing things. Mm-hmm. But I used an example off offline where it's like, you know, imagine quitting candy. And, or like you used to eat a whole bunch of candy, like uncontrollably. And now you're going in this room full of candy, but it's like, let me just take a little half of this candy because I have a sugar deficiency or something. I'm really working with this metaphor. and it's like, you know, maybe 40% of the time I could take a half a piece of candy, but the other 60% of the time it's like, give me all the candy on the table. And I feel like that's how my experience with social media has been, because there's been times, last night was a time I had a tough conversation. And then when I got off immediately, I just went to social media and like, I just scrolled and like, I felt it like, I don't even need to be here. What am I doing? This isn't, but I just scrolled and it's just not, it can get really overwhelming.
Yeah. 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 It's an insane amount of information and content that you're taking in, whether that is, you know, things that are happening in the world or look at this funny puppy video, you know, like either way, it's just a lot to be taking in. And it does, it almost gives you that feeling. It's very, you know, it's just that same little part of your brain, you know, where like, what is it they say? Like one is too many and 100 is never enough, you know? And it's like, you're waiting. I know for me, if I opened up when I have that feeling of like, I'm trying to feel better or something, it's like that scrolling, like even though you want to stop scrolling, it's also like, well, just the next one's going to be the one that makes me feel the way I want to feel, you know? And then I can close it down, and you can just, all of a sudden hours go by and you're just like, I feel like crap. Yeah. And I think, yeah, there's a lot of directions that it can take in that are that's like too much sugar.
And it's so interesting because a thought that just crossed my mind, like I wonder if they'll ever come up with like social media anonymous or like social media addiction. But then it's like, how much is like, when do we overdo it versus looking at this is experiential avoidance? I think it's acceptance and commitment therapy. They call it experiential avoidance. Like I'm having an experience, don't want to have it. So let me use this thing instead of having this experience. Like, let me escape these feelings and emotions that I don't have the tools to be able to show up for by using this thing that is a tool. And I've seen it like with my kids. My kids, I came up, okay, I'm showing my age a little bit. I mean, I'm young, I'm 34, but you know, we did have the AOLs, the AOL discs that we had to like put in to get the AOL. And there was times I couldn't be on the phone and on the internet at the same time. It's okay, guys. It's all right. But my kids have never had the experience of not being connected to the entire world. And in that, there's so many things that, like with my daughter, I could tell there's so many things that, like with fear or like stage fright or like, you know, you watch so many fail videos that is like, oh, like people laugh at you and there's so much judgment. And all of that is in here and on your phone, but you haven't even experienced like failure, like in real life, you know? So there was times where we had to like, yo, you got to go. I know you're scared. And then she bombed and it hurt, but she didn't die. She cried, she thugged it out, but now like she knows what she needs to do to show up to be able to dance competitively, you know? But if she was just on the phone, a lot of people won't even go on stage because they think of all the things that they've seen happen to other people and that stops them from doing these things because they don't want to feel that, you know? Yeah. And it's already tough to like go on stage, but like now you have this added fact of like, look at the 150 failure compilation on YouTube that just got marketed to me because of my age group. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm watching it and it's funny. We laugh and all my friends like, oh, you look stupid. Oh, you know, and then now when it's your turn to go do something, like you scared because you don't want to fail.
Yeah.
You know, there's been times where I'll tell my daughter something she don't want to hear. And then, you know, she dip and you could tell she about to cry. And then next thing you know, you hear like the sound of YouTube. I'm like, nope, get off of it. Feel it. You know what I'm saying? Feel it. You know, and then she feels it and she works through it. But like, I know that, like I might've not have had that experience at your age, but I know that feeling of like, this thing just happened. I don't want to feel it. And now here goes the thing that like will make me not feel it and let me just drown in it, you know?
Yeah. And I think I'm sure there probably is, you know, tools out there for social media addiction. And, you know, I feel like there's so many ways that we can be trying to like numb, and there's groups and support and resources. Thank God for like so many of them, but it all is just like you said, like a way to feel better or to not feel the thing that is hard. And the things that we talk about, this is the reason that we have this podcast, right? And that we can talk, like your experience with substance use disorder was very different than mine. There, you know, there's overlap, but like we were seeking out like different things. And then we had, you know, Shane on, who was talking about gambling addiction. We've had folks come on and talk about, you know, eating disorders. And there's such a huge spectrum, but we all have this common, we all speak the same language, which is, you know, I'm trying to get through this life thing, which is hard. Mm. And there's no manual and nobody really knows how to do it. But also, you know, we're humans and we just want to be okay and feel connected. And sometimes that's not available as easily as this thing that we found that is, whether that's social media or a drug or a drink or a, you know, food or like the phone or whatever the heck it is. And like the beauty of recovery is that it can kind of like give you this pause where you can find things that fill those voids that maybe isn't the thing that is just going to make you feel worse. Like you find those moments where you can talk to a friend, or take a few extra deep breaths, or realize that life isn't terrible. You just needed a glass of water, you know, like those little pauses, I feel like are that gift in recovery that keep you from reaching right away for that outside thing. And also not every single time, because Lord knows I've reached, you know, plenty of times, even within recovery, for something that is not the thing that's going to make me feel better. But I don't know. I think there is that common ground. You've talked about that pause before that like kind of gave language to something. I didn't really know what it was. And that feels good to me.
Yeah. And then even allowing like the awareness of how we show up and use things, like having that stop and pause, like, why am I doing this? Like, could allow for us to assess whether it's even necessary and like, it's okay to cut it off.
Yeah.
Or like we can reframe our relationship with it. You know, maybe a video journal is important to you. Cause I know like a lot of the content I create, like I share the tools, but it also like, I feel it helps me to synthesize some of these ideas that I'm experiencing because I know that they'll help other people. Mm-hmm. So like, if you want to just use Instagram or whatever as a video journal and turn, you can turn the comments off to not allow anybody to say anything to you. Like you just need a space to just have your platform and just say it. Maybe you got three followers and maybe they all three cheering for you. Like, like we can learn how to use these tools, because that's what they are.
Yeah.
They're tools. They're fire. Fire can burn a village down, or it can lead the way.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and it depends on what season you're in. You know, maybe you're in a season where I just got to delete it. You know, mm-hmm. like I've had seasons where I just can't go in here. Like right now, like content schedulers are my best friend, you know, because I don't got to go on there. Like maybe I'll go on there once a day to engage with the comments on the post. But like I'm not on there. Mm-hmm. There's so much, even when it kind of like podcasts, television shows, radio, all forms of media. Like, you know, the power to click is important. Click.
Power to click. Oh my God, I just had this conversation this morning with a friend. We were talking about, what was the context? Something about a conversation she didn't want to be part of. And I was like, just unsubscribe. I was like, that's a great, like, next time I'm in a conversation I don't want to be in, I'm just going to, you know, unsubscribe. this has been fun, but I'm going to have to unsubscribe.
because even in that, there might be... there might be things I really need to look at. This is my experience and my experience only, guys. So if you relate, you know, if the shoe fits, you relate. But like, there could be things that like I really need to pay attention to. And this experience of hearing this thing that is so frustrating that I want to like write in, and I want to like go on there and comment under the post, and I want to like that's happening, and I'm putting my energy to that. But sometimes, most time, all times, that energy to want to repel against like a circumstance, a situation, a person, place, a thing in life, for me has been avoidance of the thing that I really need to be paying attention to and putting energy towards. So do I need to be mad at the latest thing Kanye said, Bill O'Reilly said, or Donald Trump said, or, you know, whatever? Like, and I'm just using names, like no political leanings or anything like that, but I'm just saying names, people who piss me off at times. And it's like, underneath that, it's like, oh, like, I don't, it's not even about them. Like, people are going to do what they do. People play some things. Everybody has their views and opinions. What do I need to work on? And a lot of times what pissed me off is I seen things inside of me that were similar to what it was I was seeing from them that I try to keep in check, because like, you know, that's the quote unquote bad part of me. And then there's like shadow work to do. It's like, why are there bad parts of me? Like, what is that that I'm so... you know, and then I do that work, and then it allows for me to have compassion for people like them when I see them in real life, when I'm like really dealing with them and not seeing them on my TV or my phone screen. So I've always used that thing that's like, you know, I have to write in a 12-page letter. And don't get me wrong too, because like leaning too into like a little bit of this advocacy stuff, especially all the work we've done with Mobilize Recovery, like sometimes that, like if we learn how to use that anger and that frustration and write those letters to the right people, like things change, systems change. And so like, but it's like learning to use that without decreasing the quality of our lives. Because if I'm dying, why do I got to die to change the world? You know, I shouldn't have to die for other people to live well, you know, for other people to be represented, for other people to not be discriminated against. I shouldn't have to die for that. So like, how can I take care of myself, which allows for me to do this like intense work, which may be against somebody's views and opinions because I see things being differently, you know? And a lot of times, click, turn it off.
Yeah. And that's, and you're still, I think that's, I'm so glad that you said that, because that's something that just since my first little speech about my little cancer, or shutting off social media earlier when in this conversation, was like, I don't want anyone to think that I don't care, that I like don't want to be informed, that I don't want to, you know, help, and that I don't recognize the privilege that I have to be able to shut something off when those horrors are happening elsewhere in the world. But I think that knowing yourself and knowing, you know, where, like you said, where can I point that? Where can I point that so it is going to be helpful? And sometimes it is just shutting it off entirely and going for a walk, because honestly, I'm no good to anybody if I'm not, you know, taking care of myself. But often it's shutting that off sooner than the point that you are completely, that I am completely, like, you know, incapacitated by it all, and doing, you know, something, doing the right thing that's right in front of me, you know, doing something to help a person, like the, you know, the person that lives on my street outside, you know, what can I do to help that person today? You know, there are things that you can do that aren't taking it all in and feeling responsible for all of it all at once. And sometimes that's, you know, the starfish that's right there in front of you.
That's why the starfish story is so important.
I got
to
it right up here on my, I've like literally like the actual starfish story on my wall and then like several starfish sitting like hanging to remind me of that, because that is where you can help. And also for folks who are listening, because I know there's plenty of our listenership who are, you know, just like I am the starfish right now. You know, if you're the starfish, like take care of you and do what you got to do. And whether that means scrolling social media so you can watch puppy videos, because that's going to keep you safe today, or that means completely turning it off and going and getting a little sunshine on your face, or calling a friend, or just, you know, listening to every single episode of a podcast that makes you feel like you're not alone because you're our friend and we're your friend, then do that for you.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And as with everything recovery, the journey continues, my friends. Yeah. We appreciate you for listening today.
Sure
to our musings.
It's all it was, really, too. And we value you. Sorry, go ahead.
We hope that you take care of yourself. We hope that you do what it is that you need and know that that's going to look different from us, and that's going to look different from you in a previous season and a future season. Know that I think the most important thing you can do is show up for who you are today. And we're happy to be a tool and a resource in the midst of that journey.
Yeah. We love you. We're in this together. We got this.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
So now you're excited. Bryce, Liz, how do I get involved with the Phoenix? Well, my friend, it is super simple. We actually have an app. Head over to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, or look in the show notes of this podcast, wherever you're listening to or watching this podcast, and go download the Phoenix app.
The Phoenix app makes it so easy to find classes that are near you or to access our virtual class schedule, where you can hop on from the comfort of your home. You can also join our groups and have a conversation with someone from the Phoenix community from anywhere in the world. Please make sure that you join the podcast group, where you can connect with Bryce and I and other listeners. Everything that you need is in the show notes. You can also head to our website at www.thephoenix.org. And maybe while you're there, you click the volunteer tab and get even more involved.